The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Starting things off very strong on this Thursday morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into First Take. I'm Christine Williamson, joined by my friends. We got Wendy in studio, Courtney Cronin in studio. Chris Russo, you said a little bit ago that this feels weird sitting here, right?
Oh, it sure does. But who's the guy that sat in here before?
I don't know. Who usually
I never heard
here?
Of him. Well,
yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Those days are over. I'm kidding. That
wow,
is another for Stephen.
We've already forgotten.
He's going to break
Stephen
through the wall like a Kool-Aid man.
You better believe it. We'll get a text message in about 5 minutes. I promise. It is a weird spot.
Yeah,
different.
Yeah. It's a little bit different, but it's good. I'm glad that you're right here, right next to me.
And Freddie momentarily, too. Let's not forget
Freddie
him.
Freddie going to be here very shortly. We're going to start the association, right? Because I know you saw that. James Harden, who has declined his $47.3 million player option and will become a free agent, sources told our Adrian Woj yesterday. There is, of course, the possibility that he negotiates a new deal with Philly that will give the Sixers the flexibility to build their roster. The Bearded One has shared his desire to help the organization reshape its roster towards championship contention, sources told ESPN. Now, he got to Philly in February, but it didn't change much for Philly this past season in the playoffs as the 76ers lost in the second round for the fourth time in 5 years. So here's a look at the Sixers' odds to win the East next NBA season. The Sixers are tied for fourth shortest odds behind the defending Eastern Conference champs, the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Nets. The Sixers haven't made the NBA Finals since the AI days. That was in 2001. So the Sixers finished fourth in the East at the end of last regular season behind the Heat, Celtics, and the Bucks. I'm going to start with you, Chris Russo. Do you think that they are contenders to win the East this upcoming NBA season?
I don't see why they wouldn't be. First off, that Heat number is way low. Riley's going to put that on the bulletin board all over the place. Plus 650, and they were a three away from getting to the NBA final. Why not? I mean, they were 2-2 with Miami in a second-round playoff series. It's not like there's a dominant Eastern team anyway. The Celtics barely beat the Heat. You have to assume. Now, here's the question, and Brian will handle this. Is Harden going to come back or ever to go? I mean, he's not that old. I mean, is he going to play basketball all summer? Is he going to take what he did last year in the playoffs and sort of motivation, I got to be better than this? Embiid throws him under the bus. He's not the Harden he was 3 or 4 years ago. If it was me and I was that kind of athlete, that would motivate me. And so I will say, and I'm not a big Harden fan, but I will say that will motivate him. And if he can come back and play better than he did last year, and he had Miami at 2-2 and Miami almost got to the final, why can't they be a possible NBA finalist? I wouldn't make him the favorite, but it's not like they're the Cleveland Cavaliers and we're trying to put them in the NBA Finals. So I would say there's a possibility that could happen.
It's trending that way for me. I need to see a couple more moves made this offseason for the Philadelphia 76ers, but I can really appreciate the fact that James Harden right now is a man of his word, because he was asked about this not long after they bowed out of the Eastern Conference semifinals and said he would do whatever it would take to help this team win. Now, the good thing about this is that they don't have to go and start offloading more pieces to create more salary cap room to go after other guys. What I think they can do now, because P.J. Tucker's name has been rumored as a potential addition for the 76ers team. It's not P.J. Tucker or bust for Philadelphia, but what do you end up doing with the rest of the roster? You can't afford, if you're Philly, to chip away at your depth anymore, considering all that you gave up to get James Harden in the first place, along with those first-round picks, too. Got to replenish your depth somehow. So when we hear, Wendy, the news about Matisse Thybulle potentially being on the trading block and what they could get in return, maybe it's a Reggie Bullock, maybe it's someone else. I like the way that things are trending for this team. Daryl Morey's been very active lately, and I think that's a very good thing. Will I go ahead and say that they're in my top four? Probably not just yet, because I also think Miami's going to do something and be players this year in free agency. So I think it's heading that way, but, you know, for me, I still think Eastern Conference semifinals, as it's currently constructed, is probably the ceiling for this team.
So I believe this is the forum to have a frank conversation about James Harden. So let's have a frank conversation.
Good boy.
Yes,
I'm with you.
That.
Go ahead.
Later today or tomorrow or whenever they can convince everybody there was no tampering, Bradley Beal is going to sign a $254 million contract. That is the largest contract in the history of the NBA. We're going to have some other guys get in that neighborhood too, Jokic, et cetera. That is the contract that James Harden thought he was going to be signing today. 1 year ago, well, it was a little bit less than 1 year ago, the Nets offered him a $200 million extension, and James passed on it because he said, I'm not going to sign for $200. I'm going to sign for $250 in a year. And by the way, I wouldn't necessarily have argued with him because I think the Nets, if things had gone differently, would have given him the $250. Well, he's no longer a $250 million player. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid knows this. He's made it clear. He said it on the record. All of us actually know it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Joel Embiid said it on the record. We all heard it. James Harden, but the key here is that James Harden knows it. And that's a very important thing. Because one of the things that happens in the NBA, you get guys who come into their mid-30s, and Harden's going to turn 33 before next season. One of the hardest things to deal with, and you can ask the Los Angeles Lakers about this, is a star player who is past his prime who doesn't recognize it. James Harden, I will give him this. He's still got to be better, but he recognizes it. And what he's going to sign for is going to be $100 million less than that $250. It might be $150 million less than the $250 that he thought he was going to get. So, okay, he realizes that he is not that same player anymore. What is he going to do about it? This is where we talk about the other side of this conversation, and this is where I am intrigued by what's going on. So he's going to opt out of that contract. He could have taken the $47 million and then built a deal off of that. The Sixers were going to sign him. They just traded away all kinds of things. It wasn't like they were going to say, well, if you take the $47, we can't do it, but we're not giving you the $250. They were going to sign him, but he goes, you know what, Daryl Morey, you and I have worked together. You put your neck on the line to bring me in here. Let's make a deal that we can all work with. And Daryl Morey said, okay, now, when you do that, now I'm going to go to work, mm-hmm. James. You're going to do that, now I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go out there and try to line us up so we can get P.J. Tucker. I'm going to go out there. By the way, they've been all over the place in trade talks. They're talking about Tybal. They're talking about Tobias Harris. They're talking to all kinds of teams. I got all kinds of things in my phone about where they're potentially going with players in this next 3 to 7 days. Maybe they do a deal, maybe they don't. But they're going to bring in 3 to 5 new players that was opened up by Harden willing to do this. Now, at the end of the day, Chris, you know that what's ultimately going to matter is what is James Harden look like when he gets on the court in October and November. So that's ultimately going to define how this works out. But at least I see James Harden making the changes and coming to terms with his situation that can help the 76ers move on to the next phase here. And I believe it does open the possibility that they could win the Eastern Conference because I know Daryl Morey can build a great team. And I voted for Joel Embiid for MVP last year. And I don't regret the vote. And I think he'll be a strong MVP candidate next year, too.
Well, 3 things. And first off, can we take Morey out of the Hall of Fame? I mean, he's a little bit like Billy Beane out in Oakland. You know, they get all this accolades and there's no hardware. You know, Brian Sabian won 3 championships for the Giants. And all you hear about is Brad Pitt playing Moneyball and playing our buddy Bean. That's number one. Morey, he's never even been in an NBA final.
That's true.
So everybody puts him on his high level. You got to be careful. It's about winning championships or at least competing for one. He hasn't done that yet. Number two, and we got to be fair on this too with Harden, he shouldn't be worried about money. Harden should worry about, as my earpiece fell out so they can't talk to me, which is better. They should be worried about the scenario of, nobody's, 20 years from now, who's going to remember how much money he made?
Right.
How about winning a championship?
He's made hundreds of millions.
Yeah, who cares? Now it really fell out. That's a break. Who cares? It's about winning an NBA title. Are you and I and our kids 30 years from now going to say, you know what, forget about winning the championship. Shouldn't he made $1 billion as an NBA player? It's not important. He should be at the point right now of legacy. Hey, my job is to help this team win an NBA championship. And I'll do everything I have to do, I can do, whether it's getting in shape, whether it's, as you, great point, making a roster better because he takes less money. That's what his main goal should be. And too many athletes don't look at it that way. They look, okay, let me get mine and then let them worry about what they can put up with. LeBron, what does he want, $97 million or whatever? He's eligible for that? How about LeBron take less? And the Lakers can add components to the team because at the end of the day, it's about winning championships. That's all it's about in legacy. And Harden should not even worry about the money. Not worry about it. And Morey's got to go out there and see if he can get a team into the NBA.
And it feels like, I mean, at least right now, the self-awareness to know what this roster needs and what his role has to be in taking less money and leaving money on the table. So you are not having to get rid of a Tobias Harris in order to facilitate some of the moves that they have to make under the salary cap. So you're not changing what you have to do with your depth and chipping away at it even further. Like, think about what that roster looked like after the Simmons and Harden trade went through. They lost a lot of key pieces that all went to Brooklyn.
So Seth Curry,
Andre Drummond, they don't have to make that happen anymore. They lost those future first-round picks, which, of course, you're going to do in a trade for James Harden. I get that. But now it's not like they have to continue to work with one hand behind their back, so to speak, here in free agency and having to limit their roster even further. You brought up LeBron and the amount of money that he's on the table for him, potentially what he's going to take with the Los Angeles Lakers. Where do you think that affects them the most and what they're able to do around him? This at least for James Harden, the self-awareness, I think that goes a long way with the Philly fan base. Like, it's, you know, a place that wants a championship. These are the type of moves that you get from a player where it says, okay, I'm committed to the bigger picture here. I'm not just all in on trying to get the max deal for myself.
Right.
And I realize I saw the way that I shot. I've watched the tape of how I shot. I watched all of the memes, everything on social media of how people were critiquing how I looked and how I performed on the court. My body's got to get back in shape. I got to get better on the court.
100%.
He's doing all of those things, and it's adding up in these money talks at the end of the day. And that's the type of move that he made by declining that.
Look what Brady did. He took less money every year with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He could have taken what Manning got. He took less money, gave Belichick more maneuverability to fill that roster up. When you're in a salary cap, the idea is to win. I mean, who cares if you make $400 million? I mean, everybody would like to have it, but who cares? And as you said, if in fact this is what the deal is, maybe he realizes, who knows? But let's give him the benefit of the doubt and think he's taking the declining option? He's declining option so, in fact, the Sixers have a chance to make the team better. And that's a plus.
I do have a question for you, though, because James Harden historically does not play well in the playoffs.
Oh, definitely not.
Say he wins a championship, but still plays that bad. Does that help his legacy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Got a title.
Winning a championship means never saying you're sorry.
Okay.
I don't care how he plays. If his team, and he's a component of it, wins an NBA title, that would go a long way.
Two shots in the second half? We don't care?
Was it two shots?
4 of 16.
I didn't see games.
Might not have been a bad idea, to be honest with you.
Was it two shots? I didn't
imagine.
It wasn't great. Let's move on to another team in the East because it's a good day for Trae Young. The Atlanta Hawks are trading Danilo Gallinari and 3 first-round picks to the San Antonio Spurs for all-star guard DeJounte Murray, sources told Woj on Wednesday. The Hawks are sending a 2023 first-round pick via the Charlotte Hornets, plus their own 2025 and 2027 first-round picks to the Spurs in the deal. The deal also includes a pick swap in 2026. I said it's a good day for Trae because it's exactly what he wanted. He wanted DeJounte Murray with him. And I'm going to start with you, Wendy, on this one. Are the Hawks the biggest dark horse in the East?
Well, I think the challenge for a team like the Hawks, for a team like the Bulls, is to break through into that upper echelon. Because, I mean, I still think that the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis are still extremely formidable. This trade, you just can't get 25-year-old all-stars, who, by the way, his contract is very reasonable for the next 2 years, which will allow the Hawks' competitiveness to build around him. You just can't get these guys. And that's why they paid such a price. And I know I saw some people saying, my gosh, how'd they get him for this price? I was like, 2 unprotected firsts, another first that they also owned, and on a pick swap? Like, that's a big price to pay. The reason they got him is because nobody else was willing to pay that. And this is a terrific fit next to Trae Young. He is much bigger than Trae Young, long, led the league in steals last year. He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He doesn't complain. So when Trae Young has a game where he may have 28 shots and DeJounte may have a game where he's got 12, I don't think DeJounte is going to have a complaint about it. They've invested so much in him. He knows that they're probably going to give him a big contract in 2 years. This is an absolute arms race in the Eastern Conference right now. This is what we used to see in the West. We saw this in the West for 15, 20 years. But we saw these teams in the East over the summer make moves and teams in the West steal their talent. Now we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing teams in the East steal the talent from the teams in the West. And this is in that vein. And I look at the Hawks, and I don't think they're done. John Collins has been in trade talks. We're now wondering if Kevin Huerter, who's a high-quality player who's very desired in the market, might become available because DeJounte is going to take some of his minutes. They have other young players that have interesting value. The Hawks probably are on to have another move or two in them. Let's see where they are as a team after all their offseason moves are done.
I don't want to say this is like hyperbolic, but this changes the landscape of the East for me. I'm not putting them in the upper echelon, but I think it's fair to say that this move gives the Hawks maybe, you know, top three, top four backcourt in the NBA. And all the things that Wendy said about what it does for Trae Young, where just like we saw them run into a brick wall with Miami because the opposing defense is able to key in on Trae Young, that doesn't happen now because you have DeJounte Murray, who's coming off the best season of his career this past year with San Antonio. So if you can make Trae Young, where he's not the primary ball handler off the time, because we know, too, DeJounte Murray can play without the ball. Maybe you can do a little bit of that with Trae Young, too, kind of in that way that the Golden State Warriors are able to free up and utilize Stephen Curry in the same manner. And I know that they get criticized for not being, like, a great elite defense. I think that you can have a respectable defense here with the Atlanta Hawks. Let's not forget, a couple years ago, DeJounte Murray was a second-team all-defense defensive player. So that coupled with Clint Capella, coupled with DeAndre Hunter and the things that that does for them, that gives you a respectable defense in the East where you already know what you're doing on the offensive end. So I think they'll be fine. And I think that this changes things for me, a part of the conversation of teams that you might not expect right now to make some noise. Come May next year, we might be talking about an Eastern Conference semifinal team.
One thing that will worry me, that is a very good organization, the Spurs. Popovich is a great coach. Why is he training this kid if he's that good?
Can I tell you? I don't want to interrupt you.
Go ahead. I'm interested.
In the last couple of days, there were other teams who were interested, and they were saying, why are they trading him? Because the only player that the Spurs have ever traded where it's been has been Kawhi, and that was
well, that's because he wanted to leave.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say,
didn't want to leave.
The general manager of the Hawks is Landry Fields, who came from San Antonio, so he was hard working acquiring him. That alleviates some terms, but what you are bringing up is exactly what people in the league are saying. What is going on?
Is there an answer to that question, or is it just a question?
I think the Spurs are tanking for Victor Wembanyama, which is another topic.
But. And the three picks mean nothing, because the Hawks are going to be a good team. They're going to the lottery
maybe
protected. Well, they'd be a good team. They'd be a playoff team. So those picks aren't going to
I don't know
what
they're going to look like in 2027.
And that's, they got young. I mean, Gallinari's a good role player, but, you know, he's not great. That's what I raise my eyebrow. Popovich is trading his kid if he's that good. That's what would scare me if I was a Hawk fan. I agree with you guys on the Hawks. You can make a run at them as being one of those surprise teams. I'll take Charlotte. I'll do a little something different. I'll be nutty about it. I'll take the Hawks. First off, I love Clifford. I know that Atkinson blew off Jordan. I get that. And that's embarrassing for Jordan that Atkinson said no. But Clifford's a good coach. He knows defense. Hayward, maybe he stays healthy. They've been a borderline, you know, playing. They've been in a play-in twice. It'd be a little better defensively. Ball will get better. I'll be different. It's easy to say. I agree with you. Cavs, whatever you guys want to take. I'll take Charlotte as the surprise team in the East. Something different.
What do you think their ceiling is?
You can't put Charlotte. Here's the first thing that Charlotte has to do. Get out of the play-in round. They have to make one step.
Not get embarrassed. Right.
That's right. Good point. I mean, they got
the Atlanta Hawks.
And the year before that, they got absolutely by Indiana. Didn't they get killed by Indiana the year before that? And Indiana was like 40 points. So that's twice. So they have to get out of that playing round, win 42, 43 games, and be an eighth seed. That would be a ceiling for them.
Okay. They're young. Let's head to an old team. Talk a little Lakers and go out west, because today is not all about free agency. There will also be some contract extensions, and one guy who is due for one is LeBron James. The King is eligible for an extension from August 4th until the end of next year's regular season. If he doesn't sign an extension, he will be a free agent next summer. So the Lakers' struggles last season are well documented. Even with the big three, LA was only a 500 team. If at least one of the big three were out, the Lakers were 22-39. LA's 49 losses are the most in a season by any LeBron James team in his entire career. Freddie Coleman joins us at the desk now.
I was about to say, Courtney Cronin let herself go. What happened?
She looks rough on her hair. What
seriously. Right is up is down.
happy for you to join us. Okay, Wendy, I'm going to start with you here. Should LeBron want an extension with the Lakers?
I just have to say that the Lakers and their fans are holding on to that 11-10. Like, That gives us hope. We could maybe be 500 if everything goes really great.
How bad is that? The Lakers are hoping to be 500.
Like, that's like an encouraging 11 and 10, baby.
It's a new world right now.
So a couple of things here. First off, LeBron has made hundreds of millions of dollars in his career. He has reached the point where he doesn't have to make decisions based on money anymore. Number two, he has given the Lakers an incredible amount of faith. He didn't have a four-year contract, actually a contract more than 2 years guaranteed, between the time he signed with the Heat in 2010 till the time that he signed with the Lakers. He went a decade without committing to a team for longer than 2 years. Then, before he had to, he extended his contract with the Lakers and had no player option in that contract. He has given the Lakers a lot of runway here. So he may end up not taking this option, and he will do it not only because he doesn't need to have the money guaranteed, but he may do it to give himself options and also give the Lakers options. So we will see what they do over the next 6 weeks. That's where LeBron has to decide. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see greatness in these offseason moves, okay? And it's not a comment on the organization. They just don't have much that they're holding that they can use. But Russell Westbrook comes off the books next year. That's $47 million. LeBron's contract is over $40 million. That comes off the books. We just talked about James Harden taking less than what he could get signed for to allow the 76ers to have options. The Lakers still play in Los Angeles. Next year, right, they will have salary cap space. And if LeBron doesn't sign this extension, he potentially is in a position where he can vary what his contract is depending on who's available. So before we get into worrying about whether LeBron's going to do it and whether that means he's going to be a free agent and who could clear cap space for him, let's also pay attention to what James Harden's doing today and realize that LeBron has the option to do the same thing.
Russo, I'm going to ask you this because we know that LeBron James said he would go to Cleveland. He's open to going back to Cleveland eventually. He wants to play with Bronny. I think Bronny's eligible to play in 2024. Would it be a bad look if LeBron James decides to leave L.A.?
Yes. I mean, how many teams does he want to be on? Hey, Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland, the Lakers. Now he's going to go. That's true. Two franchises. I love when he went back to Cleveland. I thought that. But, I mean, how many? LeBron, sit tight. What is it LeBron worry about right now? And I'll let Brian handle the money. He does a much better job of it than I could. I don't know all the machinations with that. But here's what LeBron should be concerned about. Freddie, mm-hmm. Kobe,
yeah.
West,
mm-hmm.
Kareem,
mm-hmm.
Baylor,
yep.
Shaq, to a certain extent, Worthy.
Okay.
Those are the Lakers and Baylor. I got Baylor in here.
Yep.
Those are the Lakers. Wilt was only there for a little bit. I'm even going to leave Wilt out. Those are the Lakers that are the legendary Lakers since 1960.
Okay.
Right now, I know this sounds crazy. LeBron's not there. They won the championship in the bubble. He has bounced around his whole career. They're coming off a terrible season. The 1 year he was hurt, we'll give him that. But they got more by Phoenix. He should sit there and say, hold on now. What is he, 37, Brian?
Yeah.
37.
Mm-hmm.
I got about three quality big-time years left in my body here where I can play big-time basketball. I don't care what the Lakers – I don't care what I made $1 billion. Didn't even just tie Tiger Woods to be a billion-dollar athlete. I don't need any more money.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do what you need me to do to make this team a championship-worthy team so I get the statue that these other players have gotten in L.A.
There's a name missing from that list. I'm double-checking.
Which one?
Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. That is awful.
Shame.
What are you doing here? Am I a sports talk host or not?
Shame.
That
shame,
is just, how did I forget Magic?
You said Baylor twice.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. My God. Magic can hear, yell at me and scream. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Who's this idiot? Doesn't put me in the list.
I'll give you another name that you're missing on that list. Steph Curry, who has four rings like LeBron. LeBron is always interested when it comes to his peers. If you're going to be regarded as the greatest player of your generation, I don't think there's any doubt about that, that LeBron James is the greatest player of this generation. But you don't want somebody to have more rings than you. That's one of your peers. It wasn't a coincidence that LeBron James thought, oh, I would love to play for the Golden State Warriors. He is very, very calculating. He does the whole drumming with the fingers, going, how can I make this work for me? He is always very good at controlling the narrative. And that's where this comes to the Los Angeles Lakers and the two-year $97.1 million extension if he wants to do that in August. LeBron is going to make sure Chris, Brian, and Christine that he's going to control the situation no matter where he decides to go or if he decides not to go anywhere. But one thing he can't control, if Steph Curry gets another ring, the Golden State Warriors, and then another one, just like DJ Khaled, and another one, all of a sudden you can be regarded as the greatest player of your generation, but there's that dude that's among your peer group that has more rings than you. And somebody that's ego-driven like LeBron James, that may be something that even though he can't control that, that may be too much for him to deal with, especially if he's going to your point, Chris, jump around from team to team to team to try to stack it and make it the best playground basketball team to control that situation.
I don't know if that's what his priority is going to be anymore. I think he loves living in L.A. I think he absolutely is over the moon in love with the possibility of playing on the same court with his son. And, you know, that can happen in L.A. And that can happen with a championship quality team. It doesn't have to be. I think those might be his priorities. And when it comes down to competing for a championship, I think that's where he might be able to be flexible on his money. But, I mean, he's building this incredible compound in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. It's like a multi-year project, all these buildings they're building on his huge plot of land he bought. He loves being in L.A. All of his business is just in L.A. I mean, I think it behooves him to keep pressure on the Lakers to some degree because the Lakers have gotten a little bit comfortable knowing that they don't have to worry about his free agency at all. I mean, the Heat had to worry about his free agency after 3 years. The Cavs spent a decade worrying about his free agency, right. Lost him twice. The Lakers have never had to worry about it. So I do think that there's some advantage to just keeping them on a bit of a shorter leash, especially when they don't spend and they don't trade future draft picks. Like, LeBron doesn't want to hear about the 2027 draft pick. He doesn't care about that pick. So I do think there's something with that, but I think LeBron's priorities at age 38, which is when he will be potential free agent, are just, and I'm not saying you're wrong about, like, seeing how he was a Steph. I just think that he's looking at the world a little bit differently.
No. Yeah, well, I hope he doesn't want to play with Steph. We've seen the joining of forces before. Yeah. That doesn't work. No more. Yeah. Well, beat Steph. Yeah. Don't play with him.
Well, I wonder how much of that now more than ever before, because the previous discussion you had before I joined out here in terms of taking less money to make your team better, how much of that has to be a part of his DNA with the Los Angeles Lakers. You can sign. I'm not against anybody getting their money. At the Coleman family compound of Lawton, New York, it's a family motto. The most you can get, go ahead and get it from that standpoint. But if you're going to sign a two-year, $97.1 million extension, to your point, Chris, you're not leaving your organization any flexibility. And all of a sudden now, then you can't complain if they can't put pieces around you.
I agree.
That's why Tom Brady has kind of ruined things for people, right, because he did that all those years in New England. And then when he goes to Tampa Bay, he's still kind of doing the same thing. He doesn't want to be the most paid guy in terms of not having pieces around him because championships matter. If championships matter to LeBron James, then you got to pick whatever you want to do. If one apple's better than the other one, then you can't complain if things don't go your way. If you take the extension, but they're not a lot, they don't have the kind of money to fortify the pieces around you to make sure you don't go just a four-ring champion when it comes to LeBron James.
If I was LeBron, my main goal right now as a player, I don't know about the Sun. That was interesting there. I learned something when you said that, Brian. If I was LeBron, my main goal would be I want to go down as one of these Lakers who historically has that statue. Now, he's only got a short window to do it. Wes was there forever. Magic was there forever. Kareem was there a long time. But if you look at the top 10 players in the history of the NBA, and he's on it, Jordan, he's a Bull. Bird is a Celtic. Nobody's going to think that Bird. Now, Magic's got so many different teams. LeBron's got so many different teams, it's a little tricky. But to leave again or to threaten to leave or to play the money game, that's not going to look good. So if I'm LeBron, I say, hold on now. I got to win another championship outside of a bubble so we have a parade in L.A. And I want to be able to be talking about statues at this arena like they have for everybody else. And the only way he's going to do that is to be flexible with the franchise, give them some opportunities to add a couple components, and try to beat Steph in a big spot. That's, to me, what just like you said with Harden, that's, to me, what these guys should do. How much money do you need for crying out loud?
He's made a billionaire. He has enough money.
He's made $1 billion. He can't spend it. I mean, unless he wants to buy the Denver Broncos or something, he can't spend it. So as we zoom, get another championship in L.A. and put himself in the category of Jabbar, West, Kobe, and Magic.
Yeah, especially
that's what I would want to do.
Especially Kobe, because we never got a Kobe-LeBron matchup in the NBA Finals. That is something that we all wanted to see, mm-hmm. Never came close. And he even mentioned one of the main reasons, and Brian, you mentioned this, in terms of going to the Los Angeles Lakers because of his affinity for Kobe Bryant, and it was also a two-way street, not a one-way street. I wonder how much of that could he say to himself, man, if I want to get close to that level this way, the Kobe stance can't get at me anymore. I get another championship and I do it here. Maybe they go away for a little bit, even though I'm not going to get five championships like Kobe was able to do in his NBA career.
But that would be two in L.A., and he's got one in Cleveland and two in Miami. I mean, that days is fine. So he's already lost the scenario where he goes to the Hall of Fame, he wears a certain cap. you know, the Hall of Fame, you wear the one cap.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't have that now.
But don't you think if he goes back to Cleveland, he can wear the a Cavs cap?
Yeah, he could do that.
But he's going to have a statue in Cleveland. There won't be other statues around it. It'll be a standalone statue, but he has a statue.
And he should.
I don't see him going back to Cleveland. Do you see him going back to Cleveland?
I can't rule it out, but he loves living in L.A.
He has a compound, just like Freddie's compound.
Yeah.
Freddie's compound's nicer.
It is. The barbecue's always good.
Better music, too.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. If Freddie's on the ones and twos, it's good music. I can tell you that.
All morning long.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, let's get into the National Football League. The Eagles finished last season with the top-ranked rushing offense in the league and have high expectations heading into this season. They have Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Miles Sanders at running back. Sanders is feeling pretty good about his guys, telling CBS Sports, "Oh, man, we all feel like we're on an all-star team. We feel unstoppable. I'm not going to lie. I love Courtney's face right now."
Oh, my goodness.
We welcome in Booger McFarland to have this conversation. And, Booger, I'm going to start with you. So, pretty high hopes. Do you think that this team is the best team in the NFC East?
No, I don't even think they think they're the best team in the NFC East. I think they're starting to listen to all the hype that everybody is saying, that this team is completely loaded. The offensive line is really good. The defensive line, I think, is going to be outstanding. They've made some upgrades at receiver. You bring in A.J. Brown to go along with Devontae Smith. But the key part is still going to be the quarterback and the continued improvement of Jalen Hurts. They're a really, really good football team. Are they the best team in the East in my book? No. I think that's the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys have the best quarterback in the division in Dak Prescott. And so I understand the hype. I also understand the time of year that it is, being late June. Everybody's feeling good about the 4th of July, like we're all happy. And, you know, when we get a microphone in our face, we feel like we can just expound and show everyone how good we feel about our team. But then reality is going to set in. And I think they have to understand that their success, or lack thereof, is going to be dependent upon Jalen Hurts and how much improvement he has this fall. So I love Miles Sanders. I love this young, this exuberant energy that the Philadelphia Eagles have. But someone needs to tell them that oftentimes history repeats itself. And let's remember the last time that an Eagle team or an Eagle player talked about being unstoppable or a dream team. Remember that, Mad Dog? Remember when Vince Young said dream team? Right. We saw how that worked out.
Yeah, that worked out to the tune of an 8-8 season and missing the playoffs. So I don't know why nobody warned Miles Sanders about those comments and maybe not trying to say those. But, I mean, the guy's got to be feeling pretty good about himself because, like Booger had mentioned, think about all the weapons they have on the outside. They finally have a true number one for Jalen Hurts. When they traded for A.J. Brown, you can pair him with Devontae Smith, the speed that you have from Quez Watkins. I mean, that's going to deter a lot of teams from thinking we're just going to load up the box for Miles Sanders and try to stop the run. I mean, there's so many different things that you have to do to contain this Philadelphia Eagles team, and I love the additions that they made in the draft on defense. I think that was huge. But it's all going to come down to the quarterback play. Do I think this is the best team in the NFC East? Yeah, for me, they have that designation. But it's all going to be dependent upon what do you get out of Jalen Hurts this year. They've done everything to set him up for success here and to find out, is this our franchise quarterback? Because if he has bad games, and especially bad games in a stretch, you know how the Philly sports fans are. He's going to be hearing about that, and that's going to be really tough to overcome. And, you know, this could potentially be the last year that we talk about him as a starting quarterback if that pans out. They have a very good roster. I would not go the lengths of calling it a dream team by any stretch. No matter how good you feel about your own personnel, it feels like those comments can set you up for failure and if you don't do anything but reach the Super Bowl. But they have a very good team, and I think it's probably the best team in the NFC East.
Listen, the quarterback is – you can't count on a quarterback. Tua took over his job at Alabama. He's not even a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. Let's call it like – at least he hasn't shown it yet. That's cool. Like, he was terrible against the Bucs in a playoff game. They have a good roster, and they, you know, they're a borderline 9-8, you know, 10-17. But this is not a big-time team with that QB. I mean, I don't love Prescott either.
Not yet, right.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to be great. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden Jalen Hurts is some big-time player. I love his competitiveness. He's the best kid in the world. I love when he came in off the bench against Georgia and orchestrated that win. He had a good year at Oklahoma. But this is not a big-time quarterback. Booger's 100% right. And I am not a huge Prescott fan. I think he's overrated, too. But, I mean, Prescott is probably 11 or so on a quarterback chart. I mean, Hurts, is he what? The bottom three? He's 16 or 17 in the NFL? And that's being favorable. And you are not going to be a big-time team if you are not in the top 15 at the most important position in sports.
They did everything this season
Let's not bury the lead on this.
We can't judge that right now. That's my thing. I don't think that we can go ahead and say this is a dream team, this is a Super Bowl team. I need to see Jalen Hurts go out and do it.
Right.
They need to see Jalen Hurts go out and do that. Like the Miami Dolphins, the team you brought up with Tua, what did they do this offseason? They made every single move to make sure that that quarterback has every chance to be the guy that they thought he was when they passed over Justin Herbert and others to draft him. So I look at the same way with the Philadelphia Eagles. This is your chance, Jalen Hurts. We've given you every weapon imaginable.
Right,
we pulled off an incredible trade to get A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles in the draft. Now it's your chance to go out and prove it, and I think you cannot overstate enough. This was a middle-of-the-pack defense last year that lacked sacks and had some trouble pressuring the quarterback. They went in and they retooled that part of the defense, and I think that that can only help a quarterback who's trying to figure it out in the NFL put him in a good position to succeed this year. They have the 30th toughest schedule in the NFL. Everything's going to break the Philadelphia Eagles' way this year, and if they go anything less than 9-8, anything less than a first round win in the playoffs, then I'll be willing to go backtrack on that. But right now, I'm not.
ahead, everything you said, Courtney, about the Eagles is spot on. I'm going to challenge Mad Dog because I think he kind of buried the lead there. You think that Dak Prescott is overrated? In what world,
yes,
sir?
Absolutely. Booger, come on.
How so?
Well, he's not top 10 quarterback in the NFL. No way. If you look at the...
That's not what you said. No. You didn't say whether he was top 10.
Well,
you
said
he's overrated. Those were your words. Explain to me how he's overrated.
Well, first off, has he ever won a road playoff game in his career? Did he play well against San Francisco? Played poorly. I mean, he didn't play well against the Rams in the NFC second round game a couple years ago. I'm not a big believer. Listen, he's good, he's decent. But if you look at the quarterbacks in the NFL that can win a Super Bowl, I don't know if Prescott can do that. And I guess that, and I think because he's a
Dallas quarterback. Let's not confuse.
Go ahead.
Let's not confuse accomplishments from a team standpoint with deciding whether or not the individual player is overrated. I remember last year in Tampa, first game of the season, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady on the same field. Mm-hmm. Who was the best player on the field? It was Dak Prescott. He was the best player on the field that night. Okay, so that showed me that Dak Prescott belongs in the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now, sometimes when we get injured, we play a little bit differently or things don't affect us, but you cannot tell me that you didn't watch that game opening night. I think 36 million people watched that game, and you couldn't tell me Dak Prescott didn't belong in the upper echelon of quarterbacks. So when you say that this man is overrated, I think you might want to set back just a little bit, young man.
Well, hold on now, Booger. He was outplayed by Garoppolo. Garoppolo's not an upper echelon quarterback. He did not play well against San Francisco at all. Plus, he screwed up the clock at the end. He didn't realize with the scramble. He didn't know the rule with the whole thing with the judge. Well, he didn't know the rule.
Resetting
the ball.
Got to
know the rule.
Yeah, I mean.
Got to know the rule.
My lasting memory of Dak Prescott, Booger, from last season is that run that he made, the ill-advised play with 14 seconds left and then forgetting to hand the ball to the referee in order to reset it, and then the clock runs out. If you're thinking about everything he's going to be doing this offseason to try to improve, you don't think that's going to be seared into his brain? I mean, the upper echelon of quarterbacks is not just guys who have all the physical tools. It's the mental part of the game, too. They were down 23-7 at halftime. They were awful. Oh. And it wasn't just him. 14 penalties for 89 yards is trash. That is not a good football team at the peak of competition. Yeah. Now, do I think that those things are going to carry over? You'd like to think that those are like the sort of things that you work on in the offseason. But for Dak Prescott, you know, I have to wonder, too, just about the in-between-the-ears thing with that moment. Like, how do you make sure that doesn't happen again? Because
I remember,
for a lot of people, is going to be what determines what class of category you put him in, of quarterback you put him in.
I remember a certain quarterback on a Thursday night in Chicago that forgot what down it was and held up four fingers. Remember who that was? That was Tom Brady. Things happen, and we're not calling Tom Brady overrated. Things happen in football. What I'm telling you is, in a team sport that is so built around the quarterback position, when you look at the top 32 quarterbacks in this league, you'd be hard-pressed to tell me that Dak Prescott does not belong in the top 10. Now, I get it. He hasn't always come up big in the biggest moments. And guess what? A lot of guys didn't do that till later in their career. We're getting really flabbergasted by what's happening now with Josh Allen and Murray and Mahomes because they're doing it so young in the first two or three years of their career. But Dak Prescott, his talent, how he's played, what he's come up with in key moments, Mad Dog and Courtney, I think we're selling him a little bit short when it comes to where he is and where he should be based on some individual errors or individual performances that he's had.
Booger, Brady won 6 Super Bowls. We're going to bring up a play in Chicago when he didn't know that. He screwed it up.
We're bringing up a play
championships.
We're bringing up one play for Dak Prescott against in the playoffs. So if you can bring up one, I can too.
I understand that, but I mean Brady had won 6 before he made the mistake. Prescott hasn't won any. He hasn't won anything. And I don't know, you can't tell me he's a top 10 quarterback. The quarterbacks in AFC West are better. Rodgers is better. Lamar Jackson's better. Burrow's better. Brady's better. I haven't started here. I will guarantee it that I will come up with 10 quarterbacks better than Prescott. And listen, I'm not saying that the report card is complete, because he has a chance to, you know, raise the level and win some playoff games, and McCarthy's not Tom Landry. We understand that. But I don't know how in the world we can sit there and say that Dak Prescott's a big-time player at the position. There's no evidence of that, Boog. And you know more football. You played it. You know more football than I do. There is no evidence that Prescott, where is it shown in his career that he is a big-time NFL quarterback? Show me the games.
I just showed you one. Opening night against Brady on the field, Dak Prescott was the best player on the field. Now, I understand you're up in New York and maybe the internet's not working. I will email you a clip of the game and you can watch the game, okay?
It's still lost.
Okay, I'm glad we have a little bit. We have like 1 minute for this conversation, Booger. I'm going to start with you on this one. Do we think that this is the year that the Cowboys win a playoff game?
Well, I mean, based on what I've just said, I think the Cowboys are going to win the East. I think the Cowboys are going to win a playoff game this year. And based on what the two fine analysts on the panel have said next to you, one Mad Dog and one Courtney Cronin, I would have to think that they think that the Cowboys are going to suck this season.
I don't think that. Do I think they're going to win a playoff game? I would really like to think that all of the clock management, all the stuff that we've criticized Mike McCarthy for previously, now that it's reared its head to the point where you've got Jerry Jones, like, irate after that game, that those sorts of things are going to get corrected. And plus, 14 penalties. I'm going to keep bringing that up from that first-round game. That was terrible.
Randy Gregory offside 3,000 times.
You're not going to have that happen again in that game. So, no, I do think they will win a playoff game this year. I've never said anything contrary.
They will, because the NFC, Booger and I agree on the NFC East. I think I just killed Hurts, so I can't. Dallas, somebody has to win it. So I'll let Dallas win it. And the conference isn't very good. Yep. Not a lot of good teams.
Right.
So I think they should Tampa, Green Bay, and the Rams. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is not that good. They get a home game. So, Booger, we agree on something. The Cowboys will win a playoff game this year.
Three playoff wins in the last 25 years. I mean, the odds are stacked against them a little bit. We'll see.